Famies. Welcome back to your favorite podcast of all time, I assume.
Yeah.
We do have a lot of news to get into today, but I want to start by letting everyone know that we have a new thing we're doing on Patreon. Last Friday, we were like, well, we've been talking for some time now about doing like maybe an uncut episode that we don't have to edit so that we're able to put out more content for Patreon. Because editing takes a long time. We have two shows that we're now editing.
Yeah.
So we're like, this would be a third. So last Friday, we were like, fuck it. Let's try it. And it was really fun. So we're doing something called Fun Cut Fridays, which is a play on uncut and fun.
Obviously, but you guys knew that immediately. We didn't have to explain it, right? Because we spent probably too much time writing out different formats of this when we were writing the meta for it. So yeah, it's clear. Very clear.
Yeah. So last week we did a thing where we asked each other best friend questions that we found online, and we record straight through, no cutting. So whatever happens, happens. Whatever noises you hear, you hear. And then we just uploaded it on Friday. So we're going to try to do that on Patreon. So that you can get on the lowest level tier, the $5 tier. So I figured I would tell you guys about it because we didn't announce it. We just posted an episode.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where, like Brooke said, we've talked about it for a while. We were actually going to record it on Thursday, and then it was too windy was the excuse we decided to use.
Right.
It was windy, though.
It was.
We did get around to it, which I'm very excited about because we do often have a lot of ideas.
Right.
Very few make it out of the chat, and this one did.
And honestly, it was fun.
Yeah.
And there's no pressure to like fix anything. We can just do it and upload it minutes later, which is what we added music because I was like, should we add some music at least?
Brooke cannot say no to no music.
I cannot say no to no music.
Yeah. I can't figure out what that actually was supposed to say, but it's true. It's like with a narrative where you're like, I added, I couldn't resist.
Oh, I know. Well, sometimes you just need it. It sounds weird if you don't have it sometimes.
You want to feel the story.
Yeah. We are the first people to ever say that. No other company. But if you guys want to, if you've been on the fence about joining Patreon, because we weren't posting that much on that lower tier and we felt bad about that. So now there is a weekly episode. I mean, if one of us is traveling or we're both traveling or whatever, we probably won't do them. Obviously, they're very low pressure, but we're trying to do them every week.
Yeah. I much prefer it.
You prefer it?
Did I say prefer it? Yep. I much prefer it because we don't have to edit. What a dream.
Yeah. It's literally what we would be doing anyway. We're just chatting away.
Yeah.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. There's just a mic there. So you guys should join. It's fun. Okay. Pop culture drama.
Oof.
I meant to say news, but I looked at my notes and read drama. So
it works.
Yeah. So today we're going to get into the Ashley Tisdale mom group drama.
I can't wait.
Yeah, same. Then we're going to get into the Golden Globe stuff. You know, Arisha loves to recap an award show. That's her favorite. And lucky her, she ended up with that topic this week. Yeah. I feel bad.
I should have known that I'm over here playing checkers like an idiot and you're playing chess.
Yeah.
Because Brooke in the text, she was like, should we save the quickies for Friday? Should we do this? And I was like, okay, yeah. And then all of a sudden, I'm covering the Golden Globes.
Well, if you didn't want to do it, I would have chosen that for my second story. But I was like, okay, well. We're going to get into the Golden Globe stuff. And then we are going to touch on Ali Wong and Bill Hader's breakup. And then Gisele Bündchen marrying that jiu-jitsu guy and her family, I guess, is upset.
That's what they call him, the jiu-jitsu guy.
I'm excited to hear about that one. Because I'm like, that story is just so random.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. We need more fun, random stories like this.
We don't have any lawsuits today.
Oh, my God.
And that's huge.
New year, new us.
Yeah, baby. We're back, baby. All right, so let's jump into Ashley Tisdale and her quote-unquote toxic mom group. Mm-hmm. This is one of those things where I'm like, I was hoping that we would get to talk about this week because it happened last week and kind of kept going.
Yeah. I think it happened the day after we had recorded or something.
Oh,
which is like devastating when that happens.
That is devastating. So I'm like, I can't wait to break this down and just put it all together. Mm-hmm. So this actually started when Ashley wrote a personal blog post in December titled "You're Allowed to Leave Your Mom Group." That post, I guess, went viral. I didn't hear about this post. I didn't hear about the original blog post. Did
you? Well, you don't read, so.
And also, I don't subscribe to Ashley Tisdale's blog.
I heard about the blog post, but I didn't read it. Which maybe I will after this.
I guess that sparked a lot of conversation online, and she got a lot of supportive DMs about it. So she decided to write a personal essay for The Cut and expand on it. So The Cut article is what really shot this thing into the stratosphere. So The Cut essay was called "Breaking Up with My Toxic Mom Group." And she starts that essay talking about all the support she got. The people told her they felt seen by her. She said it also turned people into online sleuths. So they were obviously trying to dig into who this mom group was.
Of course.
And she was like, please don't even try. Whatever you think is true isn't even close. I'm like, I doubt that.
Yeah.
So what's the exact opposite of what we all think? You guys all drank a secret elixir, became aliens.
Oh, I thought it would be that a bunch of senators were in her mom group or something.
Senator, like male senators?
Male senators. That's the exact opposite.
They were wearing masks.
A male politician is the opposite of an actor mom group.
There's an SNL sketch where there's like a guy pretending to be in a sorority. Actually, they did that on Full House.
Oh, yeah. They love to cross-dress on Full House.
They really do. So we were all raised with that. So get over it.
Yeah, I love it.
So then she obviously went into more about her toxic mom group. She said after her first daughter was born, she was craving connection with other moms. And one of her friends brought together a bunch of moms that she knew. And they were all apparently going through the same thing. I guess most of them had babies during the pandemic. So it made it hard to like meet other moms and do other things. So after joining the group, Ashley said that she felt a sense of belonging. She said, by the time we started getting together for play dates and got the group chat going, I was certain that I'd found my village. The second you say I found my village, I know that you're in the most basic bitch fucking group of all time.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
But I found my village with you.
We are not a village. We are two fucking idiots.
A village of two. That's how powerful we are. We don't need more people because no one will join us.
There is no village idiot because it's the both of us and it's the whole village.
A village of idiots. Yeah, that's us.
Yeah. So then she said she started getting left out of different group hangouts and she would find out about them on Instagram. She was like, because Instagram loved to feed me all the stories. It's like, no, that's your algorithm. Which is like, what are you talking about? So she said another time at one of the mom's dinner parties, she was sat at the end of the table, far away from the rest of the women. And in my mind, I don't know what you're picturing when I say that, but I'm picturing one of those tables that's in like a castle in a movie that's so fucking like comically long.
Yes.
She's at the one end. The whole group is at the other end.
And she says, pass the salt. And some waiter has to come in and jog the quarter mile to her end of the table.
Or some former bartender slides it all the way to the end. Or some shuffleboard champion.
And everyone laughs. And she's like, wait, what? I couldn't hear. What was the joke? And they're like, it's too difficult to re-explain.
We said we hate you and you're a bitch.
Damn. Yeah, that's what I pictured as well.
It's like, what was the actual scenario? This sounds like a thing that maybe she built up in her head. And I'm not saying all of this is built up in her head, but that one specifically.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So after that, she noticed that she was being iced out of the group. Apparently, there was one birthday dinner that she wasn't invited to and everyone gave her excuses as to why. Which we'll talk more about the excuses.
Okay, good.
In a little bit.
I need ideas.
No, you don't.
I love a good excuse.
So after that, she said they all planned a quote unquote girl hang during Ashley's daughter's birthday. And they didn't invite her to that. So they planned it at her daughter's birthday. I assume party. It just said her daughter's birthday.
Wait. They planned it like it was the same day?
No. They were at the party
eating
their miniature wieners and cucumber sandwiches. And they were like, let's do a party. but we won't invite Ashley.
Oh, they planned it there. I thought they had a party at her daughter's party. And I was like, that's diabolical. We're going to go to this party, but then have our own little hang in the closet.
I was going to say, that's not really a thing. That's just a group talking at a party.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
So, yeah, they planned this hang and they didn't invite her to it. So as she started to feel more left out, it reminded her of a mom that was in the group during the early days of its forming, who was also not included in things. And she said, I'd pick up on hints of a weird dynamic, but at the time I didn't dwell on it too much. I was just so happy to have found these incredible, smart, funny women. Now it seemed that this group had a pattern of leaving someone out and that someone had become me. So she was like, when it wasn't me, I thought it was fine.
Of course.
Didn't care a bit.
Yeah.
So after being left out of a couple more group functions, she decided to confront the group.
Hell
and
yeah.
Thank God she did, because I love that.
I will always advocate for confrontation in these kinds of scenarios.
Yes, especially as somebody who loves reality TV.
Yeah.
And realizing that those things don't really happen in real life. Like, you wouldn't be at a dinner and all of a sudden start screaming at each other. That just doesn't, unfortunately, happen unless you're at my birthday dinner in 2019.
Well, that's what you get for comparing a grown woman to a baby Mark Ruffalo.
No, it was a baby woman compared to a grown-up Mark Ruffalo.
Equally terrible.
And unfortunately, they look the same. So she was like, I'm not in high school anymore. I'm a mom.
Well, there are plenty of moms in high school, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah. And she started thinking about how, like, they should be teaching their girls to stick up for themselves and blah, blah, blah. So that's why she decided to send this text.
Did she CC the children on it so they knew to stand up for themselves?
Yes. Yeah.
The babies?
She's like, in the future, when you guys aren't invited to a party that was formed at your own party. Because this will happen again.
That happens pretty regularly. Not in a malicious way, but if there's a group of people together at a space, they're like, oh, we got to hang out. Let's plan this. Yeah. I've never looked at it as like a sinister thing, but if she's being excluded, then I guess that's shitty.
Especially when you don't think to invite the person whose home you're at or whatever.
Yeah.
So she sent a group text that said, this is too high school for me and I don't want to take part in it anymore. She said it did not go over well.
Was that the whole text? That's it?
I guess. So she said that some of the other moms tried to smooth things over with her. One sent flowers. And then according to Ashley, this mom ignored her when she thanked her for the flowers. She probably saw her message on Instagram or text and then didn't even heart react. Which, honestly, you should go to prison for that.
Heart reacting? Not heart reacting.
No, for not even heart reacting. Yeah. Like, you don't have to start a whole conversation, but if somebody goes out of their way to say something and you see it, it just hurt it.
I will say, I have heard some people saying they don't consider that a reply.
What do you mean? Like, the people who receive them are mad about
it? Yeah. So part of me is like, did this mom heart react to her thank you? And she's like, she didn't reply. Because I consider a heart react a reply. It shows that it was seen. It shows that it was received. But some people apparently don't. And it's like, I will never be compatible with them because I thrive off of emoji reactions.
I think, like, when somebody reacts to my story on Instagram, for example, I will heart react it. And I feel like that's enough.
That's more than I do.
If somebody says something like, just like something basic and I heart reacted, I'm like, okay, that's fine. If somebody like asks me a question or like it seems like a conversation and I don't reply or heart react it, that seems fucked up.
Oh yeah, that is fucked up. I would never do that.
Yeah, you would.
Ever.
So another mom told her that everyone assumed that she had been invited to all of these gatherings and just didn't show up. So I think those are the excuses she was getting before, where people are like, oh my God, like, we totally thought that this person invited you or blah, blah, blah. It sounds like a lot of throwing under the bus.
Well, also, how big is this mom group where you can't keep track of who's invited whom?
Well, I assume whoever planned the event is in charge of who they invite.
Well, it's like you're in this text chain.
Yeah.
So presumably at some point there's a check-in, like, excited to see everyone tomorrow, or who's bringing the grapes, that kind
of
thing.
You would invite everybody in that chain.
Right.
So there's maybe a separate
As soon as you start doing separate chats, you're doing squirrely stuff. And this is coming from Queen of Separate Chats.
Yeah.
I love being in a group chat and having a side chat going on at the same time. It's so fun. And I assume everyone else is doing the same thing.
Yeah, we're all doing that with our in our chats with you.
Yeah, I would expect nothing else. Talking about how incredible I am.
So Ashley was like, to be clear, I've never considered the moms to be bad people, maybe one.
Oh.
But I do think our group dynamic stopped being healthy and positive, for me anyway. Now, this essay went viral.
Of course it did.
I read the whole essay. Everyone, of course, is like, well, you got to tell us the other moms in this group.
Especially the mean one.
Name names. Yeah, name mom. Yeah, the mean one especially. So there's obviously a bunch of pictures of Ashley in this group. It appears to be the mom group. Like, we're not stupid.
Yeah.
And Meghan Trainor's in that group. Mandy Moore, Hillary Duff. Those are the famous ones in the group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after the essay went viral, Hillary's husband, Matthew Coma, who is a real jokester. This guy loves to do shit like
this. Yeah, he does.
He posted a picture of him on his Instagram with his face on Ashley's body. And in the picture, he's sitting on a couch dressed in all black and he's wearing sunglasses. And then he added the Cuts logo to the photo.
Uh-huh.
And he had a headline that said, when you're the most self-obsessed, tone-deaf person on earth, other moms tend to shift focus to their actual toddlers. A mom group tell all through a father's eyes. That was the subheadline.
Oh, man. May a love like that find me.
I know. And it's one of those things, too, where Hillary Duff is always like, oh, that's just Matthew.
Yeah.
You know?
I love a messy man.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fun.
They
are fun.
We don't
have enough, like, fun, messy men.
Yes.
So Meghan Trainor also posted a video on TikTok of her looking at her computer. And she's like looking like she's all surprised. And the text says, me finding out about the apparent mom group drama. And she has her own song, Still Don't Care, playing over it, which is on her upcoming album that comes out on April 24th. And we'll get into that in a sec.
Oh, boy. Also, I loved her keyboard. It was clear and colored. Yeah. Rainbow colors.
Now, the comments on that post were surprisingly Team Ashley, like overwhelmingly. They were like...
On Megan's post?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were like, this just proves her point. Mm-hmm. One other person said, well, this backfired. We believe Ashley now. So then Meghan posted another TikTok on Monday, and she was lip syncing to this audio from Stranger Things.
Come on, you have to believe me. Please. You have to believe me. You have to.
And the text on the video said, me still trying to convince everyone I'm not involved in the mom group drama. Then in the caption, she wrote, I swear I'm innocent. So, like I said, Meghan has a new album coming out in April. Mm-hmm. Hillary Duff has a new album coming out in February.
Mm-hmm.
And last Friday, Ashley posted a video of herself doing yoga in the desert, and she captioned it, find your strength within, coming February 1st. And then she tagged her wellness brand. So now people are kind of thinking this is like PR related. But I don't know that it would be PR related for Meghan and Hillary. But I would love it if the three of them got together and they were like, hey, let's plan something. They asked Mandy. She's like, I'm not doing music anymore. Leave me alone. I'm a mom.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, this is PR for all three of them.
I know. Because they've all released, like Hillary Duff released that video with her song about sucking dick or whatever.
In the rain inside or something.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, for Ashley Tisdale, at least, I think that it might be mostly PR. But who knows? I wish it was for promo for a celebrity mom group reality show.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Do you think that her original blog in December was PR?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know,
like,
what her blog
is. If it didn't blow up, would we have had the Cut article?
Right.
Interesting.
So obviously everyone in the world's weighing in on this. Like The View, they were talking about it on The View. And they like criticize Ashley for making it public. Willa Ford, who sings I Want to Be Bad.
Uh-huh.
I want to be bad. She said two of the non-famous women in that group are ride or die friends. It's like, well, they might be ride or die friends to you.
Right. Yeah. What about those nobodies in the group? Have they chimed in? What are they dropping in the next few months?
I just saw one of them post, thank you so much for including me in the public drama this time. Now I have some clout.
No way.
No.
Oh my God. I wish she had. I wish she had.
But like your gut reaction, whose side are you on?
Oh my God. Honestly, neither. I think it's one of those situations where the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Because I've heard stories about groups of women, especially. I'm sure it happens right. with men, but they just handled conflict weirdly. Yeah. But I have heard of scenarios where this happens. Like, this isn't unheard of.
Well, it's also like when you are placed into a group of people, mm-hmm. not like a group of friends you chose and just right. randomly came together. Right. People aren't going to all love each other. That's right. going to happen. It's like a sorority or a fraternity.
Yeah.
Those aren't your fucking real friends. You've been placed in a group and you have to either get along or
yeah.
write cut articles about each other.
Well, and that's the thing, because it's like I'll see this in a lot of advice columns. You know how much I love reading advice columns. And it's uh-huh. like, this group is icing me out. And it's like, I've fortunate where I've had this experience, or if I have had this experience, I've been so oblivious to it. I didn't realize I was iced out and thought I just was done with talking to these people.
Yeah.
But it seems to me if somebody's the first time they're hanging out without me and I think I'm a part of this group.
Yeah.
I'm done. Like, I'm not going to keep trying to, I don't know if it's having too much self-respect or what, but I'm not going to keep engaging with a group that isn't respecting me.
Yeah.
So it's because, like, hearing you tell this story, there were quite a few instances where it was like, she's still hanging out with them after this happening. Why? Why are yeah. you still engaging with them? And maybe it's challenging when you have kids and you want this connection, because I know, like, being a mother can be, I've been told, it can be very, like, isolating. And having people that are in the same kind of stages as you is nice.
Yeah.
But there's 8 billion people on this planet. Like, find somebody else.
Yeah.
These people aren't respecting you.
I also heard rumors that it was maybe politically motivated, and like Ooh. She had a differing political opinion than the rest of the group, but I don't yeah. know how true that is. I don't know. So that's just like a rumor that I've heard. But you're not going to convince me that Meghan Trainor isn't part of some drama. Like, she seems, I mean, I don't know. I don't trust Meghan Trainor for some reason. I just don't. I don't trust Ashley Tisdale either.
It's one of those things where you didn't have to say anything, but you chose to react
right.
in a way. Even if you yeah. have nothing to do with the situation, you know there's pictures of you with this person. You know what internet sleuths are going to do. And I don't like that Ashley was like, it's not who you think it is. It's like, well, then say who it is.
Yeah, that's just as damaging as
you know
saying.
You're like, in saying. The public eye. You know that people are going to do this kind of math.
Yeah.
Wait, who do you think? What's your gut telling you?
The same. I do think it's like a little in the middle. I think
yeah.
they maybe they didn't like her. And didn't know how to go about saying it. And yeah. maybe she also was annoying. Like, I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. Everyone's the hero of their own story. You know,
so
she's
true.
Never going to be like, I sucked. And so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Interesting.
But regale me with the globes.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. All right. So. It's weird because people call the Golden Globes the kickoff of award season, but I always consider the one last week, which I've already forgotten what it's called.
Critics' Choice. Yeah.
Same. We're in the thick of circle jerking, Hollywood circle jerk season.
Yeah.
So Sunday was the 83rd annual Golden Globes. Nikki Glaser was the host. She hosted last year.
Yes.
And she did fine. I mean, she did great. She nailed it.
What's the story here?
So a lot of jokes. I don't even know how to like break this down. So I kind of went through with what happened and just pulled out the highlights.
Uh-huh.
Family, I cannot stand award show recaps unless something huge happens, like Will Smith slapping Chris Rock.
Right.
And it's so funny because during our time at Wondery, every fucking award show was on the docket to be like broken down. So this is like war flashbacks for me.
So this is nostalgic for you.
Sure. This will be my nostalgia story. So front runners, One Battle After Another. That's a Leo DiCaprio movie. It took home 4 awards. That was a front runner for movies. Adolescence was a front runner for TV. Same number of awards, similar to the Critics' Choice, actually. Literally same number.
Yeah.
I think the biggest news, And the most infuriating news is this was the year that they had the podcast Golden Globes. And I know you guys are probably still wondering why we're not on that list. I'm wondering. It's a bunch of fucking celebrities.
Exactly. They're like, we're going to do this, but we're still going to make it about celebrities.
Yeah. Yeah. I
like,
know.
Fuck you. No one cares, dude. Yeah. Just leave it. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah. But Amy Poehler won, and I do love her. I've heard nothing but good things about her show. And I love that she beat out her ex / our nemesis, Smartless, because I almost dislike their show as much as I dislike New Heights.
Wow. And by that, she means she's never listened to a single episode.
Oh, yeah. Well, we went to the live taping of Smartless.
I actually do think they're funny.
I do. I just, it's like three fucking white men talking. I can just go outside and listen to that, unfortunately. And yeah. The thing about celebrity podcasts that pisses me off is that they already have so many platforms. They don't need podcasting. And I get it. I probably would be doing the same thing. It's the easiest money they're probably ever going to make. Mm-hmm. But for fuck's sake, it's just celebrities talking to celebrities. Like, come on.
Well, and you also say that. Allow me to speak for you because you're off the rails.
I'm off the rails.
As your publicist, let me just clear up. Because I don't want to get into a situation where we have the opportunity to work with Sean Hayes, who I absolutely adore. And this
I love them. But think about the headlines.
Their podcast getting acquired by Wondery for us was, I think, the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
It was a slow end, but it was the kickstart of celebrity podcasts coming to Wondery and smaller podcasts kind of getting shit.
Yeah.
The shit that just the bottom of the barrel stuff.
It's hard when you read articles about, you know, the company you're working for spending $80 million on a podcast and then a year or two later spending $100 million. So I'm talking about Smartless acquisition and then New Heights.
Yeah.
And then getting emails about, well, we're cutting this expense. We're not going to pay for this. We're not going to do this. Money is tight. And it's like, how?
Yeah.
Money shouldn't be this tight all of a sudden. Also, the CEO is a billionaire.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But truly, I mean, obviously.
Talk about excuses. They were like, wait, we thought you guys were invited to the money talks.
To the money talks, yeah. But yeah, so Amy Poehler won. Snoop Dogg announced it. And yeah. I think he had the perfect quote that we were all feeling. He said, I'm high as a motherfucker right now. Y'all had me here too damn long.
Wow.
Which wow. is, these award shows, I mean, I think these are probably the more fun ones because you're sitting around, you're drinking and stuff. It's the Oscars and stuff where you're like at a movie theater basically and can't do anything.
Right. A lot of audience shots. Mostly of Leo.
The camera loves Leo.
He was the star of the audience.
Yeah. I did love Nikki Glaser at one point had a line about Sinners and Michael B. Jordan. And she's like, I'm a B. Jerkin or something. And the camera pans to Michael, who's there with his mom. And his mom was like, not in love with that line. And I was like, I get it. But can you blame Nikki? Look at Michael B. Jordan.
And also, have you ever heard of an opening monologue? Like, come on. You're in the wrong place, especially if it's Nikki.
She probably hasn't. So another fun little quote from this award ceremony. Rose Byrne won a Golden Globe for... Yeah. Her work in If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. Didn't know about that. She's married to Bobby Cannavale, who you know who he is, right?
Oh.
The actor.
From, he was Will's boyfriend on Will and Grace. That's where I first saw him. So he's always getting that. He was in Nine Perfect Strangers.
Yes. Him.
Yeah. I love him.
They're married.
I did not know they were married.
Really? I love their marriage.
I love that couple. I love Rose Byrne. She's so fucking funny.
Yes. I love both of them. I would love to be a part of this marriage in whatever way I can be a part of it.
Oh, wow. Pervert.
Even if I'm just hanging out on the couch with them. Like, they just seem so fun together.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she said that he wasn't there. Bobby wasn't there when she won her award. And she said he wasn't there because they're getting a bearded dragon and he went to a reptile expo in New Jersey.
That's weird because on her show Platonic, there's like a lizard pet.
Wow. What are the chances?
Or an iguana. Well, it is kind of just weird. Maybe that is hers in real life. And now they're also getting a bearded dragon.
Maybe working with it inspired her to want one.
Maybe. Yeah.
Timothy Chalamet won for Marty Supreme. I don't understand. This movie just came out 4 minutes ago.
I know.
How is it in, like, how is it eligible?
I truly have no idea.
Hollywood's jizzing all over this movie.
I know.
I don't want to see this movie on principle at this point because I don't like when movies are shoved down my throat.
I also, what is it about?
A table tennis champion.
It is. Oh, right, right, right.
And I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe. Maybe inspired. I don't know. It's an A24 one. But their promotional thing, I didn't mind Barbie. Barbie was everywhere. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, maybe it's the orange. But
I was Marty say, Supreme. Like...
It's just too much. And Timothée Chalamet is annoying me. But people are loving him. They're loving his relationship with Kylie. She was there. I've seen a lot of like time things for the last 3 years of her being there and them together. To their credit, they do really seem to be in love and supporting each other. And I can appreciate that. Another fun little thing, Ricky Gervais thanked God and the trans community.
Through Wanda Sykes.
Yeah.
Which I was like, did he actually tell her to say that or was she just saying whatever she wanted to?
No way in hell he told her to say that. Because he's actually an outspoken atheist and has drawn criticism for his comments on trans people.
Oh. So it was how did beautiful. She end up accepting his award?
I'm really not sure. So, famously, he won the Best Stand-Up Award. mm-hmm. Which this is, these awards are sounding more and more like the participation awards that you would get growing up.
They're like, what can we throw in now?
Yeah. Like at the end of the school year awards, like best notebook paper organizer. And you're like, okay, great. But Wanda Sykes accepted it and thanked God and the trans community. And I just love that. What a great little.
See, I jab. Just saw like the headlines about it. So in my mind, I was like, oh, he asked her to accept the award. Mm-hmm. And she was just because I don't know much about Ricky Gervais. I'll be honest.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
I didn't know what the whole spiel was.
But yeah, so that I mean, that was basically those were the big things that I cottoned on to. I will say, so the Globes were sponsored by Polly Market, which is a betting company, and they were advertised a lot throughout the Golden Globes. Mm-hmm. And some people are saying like these extra categories are all just to give opportunities for more betting, which is just like, hi, capitalism. Nice to meet you. What?
I will say I loved Nikki's dress, her hosting dress, the red. It was like, that was a good fucking dress.
Yeah. The outfits were pretty good. There was nothing that I was like blown away. I know a lot of people have been talking about Jennifer Lawrence's dress. Did you see that? It was like sheer.
I actually really liked it.
I liked it and then I didn't like it and then I liked it and then I didn't like it.
I mean, I'm mad at her, and we'll get to that on the burn book, so guys, if you want to hear about that. But I did like her dress. There weren't a lot of dresses I loved, unfortunately.
Yeah. I'd see people would post, and they'd be like, oh my God, Mother, and I'd be like, what?
I did like Selena Gomez. Her dress was great. Mm-hmm. And then Lisa Ann Walter.
Oh, yeah.
From Abbott Elementary.
Oh, I love her. I love Lisa Ann Walter.
Her dress was great, too.
Chessie.
Yeah. I really loved the white on top, black bottom because her and Selena both had that vibe going. And I was like, oh, I actually really like that.
Yeah. I like that too.
Did you see Leo talking to somebody in the audience and everyone's talking about? I do want to know who he was talking to because when he was like mimicking the gestures, I thought he was talking about an older lady or talking to an older lady. But then when you saw the table, it was all older men and then Teyana Taylor. So I was like, maybe Teyana Taylor?
She is an old lady.
I just like, I don't know. I think I love Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, I think he's one of those people that I'm not going to really truly hate ever. He just seems fun. Like, he can laugh at himself. I know there's a lot of stories about him, like rumored stories.
Yeah, I know I probably shouldn't say this, but if he was 20, 30 years older, he would 100% be on the Epstein list. Like, he's got that perverted side of him, but he also seems like he's fun and funny. It's just I wouldn't trust him.
No, I wouldn't trust him either.
But I do understand what you're saying. He does seem, especially like these sidebar things that will catch him in. But then I'm also like, he's been in this industry so long. He knows when the cameras are on him. He's always putting on a show.
Yeah.
That's why his movie won so much.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of, I don't have a good segue. But there is a tie-in with the award show stuff. So,
perfect.
Ali Wong and Bill Hader have broken up. after almost 3 years of dating. They actually dated briefly in 2022, and then they got together again in 2023 after Allie's divorce. Oh. So that was this relationship.
They were dating while she was married.
I don't think they were dating while she was married, but actually, I don't know, because how long was her marriage?
Maybe they were separated or something.
Yeah, maybe. So 2 months ago in November, some paparazzi took pictures of Allie and Bill having an emotional moment together outside, I think, Bill's house.
Yeah.
Because in the pictures, he's walking Allie to her car. Mm-hmm. So I assume it's like parked at his house because he's wearing your classic fit of black socks and Adidas slides.
Oh, my God. Wear it one time.
You had it on several times during Girls Week.
It was Girls Week. I didn't bring a selection of socks.
Anyway, that's what he was wearing. And he like had his arm around her and he was walking her to her car. And then she's like crying.
Yeah.
And then they kiss and they hug and she's like squeezing his arm. She gets into her car and then they talk a little bit through the window. She like caresses his chin. He moves her hair out of her face. Like loving, emotional moment.
Yeah.
That thank God some strangers were there to capture.
Thank God.
Every frame of.
What would we do without all this detail?
Seriously. So now that the news of them breaking up is out, people are wondering if that was maybe the day that they actually broke up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just hearing about it now. And because sources are saying that it is amicable and it was just that their schedules are super busy because she's going on tour soon. He's working on a bunch of TV and film. And it was just like they want to focus on their kids, their separate kids. They don't have kids together. But there has been speculation about their relationship since last year's Golden Globes because Allie was there without Bill and she didn't thank him when she won her award because she won for best stand-up, ironically enough, for best comedy special. But then Bill's reps were like, no, it was just like he was sick or whatever. But it seems like people online are blaming Allie. One person said, didn't Bill say Allie fantasizes about hooking up with other guys in her stand-up special or something? She seems like she'd rather be single and finding hot guys to hook up with.
Oh my God, that drive-by was rough.
Yeah, a couple. Oh, right. He's not hot. So a couple people were like, in her stand-up, she seems like she would be a terrible partner. So I don't know. But other people are bringing up Bill's mental health after the Nick Reiner thing.
Mm-hmm.
They had an interaction at Conan's Christmas party where Bill was talking to a group of people and Nick interrupted. And Bill was like super politely being like, this is private. And Nick, I guess, stared at him and then stormed off. Super. I mean, it's got to be chilling. He's now lost his friend. He's replaying that fucking interaction. Yeah.
Friend and his two friends.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but they do seem amicable. That if that was their breakup, there's no way that they're not
right
even still in love, you know, to some extent. So
Bill Hader seems like somebody who you can't not have an amicable breakup with. Like he's just seems so genuinely sweet.
Right. He does. He does seem really sweet.
So yeah. Well, I hope whatever's going on, they're both. I like them both.
Maybe they'll come back together.
Yeah.
Or wait, did she win best stand-up performance or did she win for Beef? Now I don't remember when that was. But whatever. She won.
She won. Yeah. Well, you want to talk about winning?
Yeah.
Well, you won't think that this is winning because it involves having a baby. So Gisele Bündchen had a baby boy with her jiu-jitsu instructor back in February of 2025.
She had a baby itza boy.
Yes.
Every time I bring that up, you have no idea what I'm talking about.
I never do. What is it?
It's from that old commercial where someone calls their friend Collect to tell them they had a boy. And they say their name is We Add a Baby Eats a Boy.
Yes, that's right.
So they don't have to pay for the call.
Because they don't have to pay for the call. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Joaquin Valente is her jiu-jitsu instructor. Uh-huh. And this is in the news because they actually got married last month in December.
Okay.
Beginning of December, December 3rd, they got married. And her family, it turns out, is none too pleased. This is according to Page Six. The source tells Page Six that Gisele's family warned her that marrying a penniless guy when she is worth millions is a mistake.
Okay.
So apparently they think Joaquin is penniless, even though he does own, he co-owns the jiu-jitsu gym with his brothers. Mm-hmm. So he's got a business, but Gisele is the richest supermodel. She's got an estimated $400 million of a net worth.
Right.
So basically the news is that Gisele's family is worried about her. They told her to just live with him. But between Joaquim's pressure and her being a traditionalist, she felt since they have a child, they might as well marry. Now, this is what a source has told Page Six.
Right.
Now, they do have a prenup. Okay. But Giselle's family is worried it's not strong enough. The source says there's a prenup, but with some loopholes that mean if they divorce, there will be a financial settlement for him. Which, to be fair, is most prenups when you're dealing with rich people. There's always going to be a financial settlement. That's what the prenup is outlining.
Yeah.
So Giselle doesn't seem to give a shit. Which,
well, yeah.
Why would she? And a little backstory. So Giselle and Joaquin met when she brought her son, Benjamin. He's 15. It's her son with Tom Brady. She brought him to take...
Wait, the guy from the Hertz rental car commercials?
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. she brought Benjamin to take classes at the Jiu-Jitsu Academy, which is in North Miami Beach. And that's where she met him. She actually started taking classes herself. And by June of 2023, she and Joaquim were officially an item. So now they're married with a baby who's almost one. And their family, I will say her family, they're all very close. Like if you go through interviews she's done, she's got five sisters, which is insane.
Is she Brazilian?
Yes. So is this guy. Actually.
Oh, well, Brazilian jiu-jitsu is right. It's like.
Yeah. So. I don't know. It's one of those things where even if he takes her for half, she's worse. She still has 200 million.
I know. And also, like, her being a millionaire is the best case scenario for her to marry someone penniless, quote unquote.
Wait, why?
Like, well, because she's already got her own money. It doesn't matter what this he doesn't have. Like, she probably doesn't give a shit about that.
Right.
So it's like her family's probably very old fashioned in the sense of like, you have to marry a rich guy. Got to marry a doctor or a lawyer.
Which is insane to say when you're talking to somebody who's worth $400 million.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Who gives a shit how much money that guy has?
And is also in her 40s and has been married before. Like, she's not an idiot.
Giselle's in her 40s?
She's like 43, yeah.
Huh. I thought she was older than that.
Yeah, she's not.
Interesting.
Maybe 44. But it's just absurd. It's like, okay, family, calm down.
Yeah, truly.
Settle down.
It's like, how much are you guys worth?
Well, if you factor in our cut from your wealth.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. Well, when we come back, Arisha's going to take me on a nostalgic throwback journey. I can't wait to hear about this because she was writing it last night at 2 a.m.
I actually finished early, if you can believe it.
Wow.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Pepsi.
Ooh, I think I actually might know what or have a guess.
Okay.
So we'll see if I'm right. All right, we'll be right back. All right, we are back. Take us on this Pepsi journey.
It's the evening of January 27th, 1984 in Los Angeles.
Okay, I don't know.
Were you thinking Kendall Jenner?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're at the Shrine Auditorium, the landmark venue in Los Angeles that's hosted the Academy Awards, the Emmys, the BET Awards, Miss Universe, and the Grammys, to name a few. It also happens to be the location for Elvis Presley's first ever concert and where Barbie had its world premiere. In other words, we're at a heavy hitter of a location. But today isn't about awards or premieres or concerts. We're at Shrine Auditorium for some good old capitalism. We're at a commercial shoot for Pepsi. And this isn't just any old soda pop advert. This is part of a multi-million dollar endorsement deal that PepsiCo has with one of the biggest musical groups in the world. Guesses?
Milli Vanilli.
Yeah, this is Milli Vanilli. No, the Jackson 5.
That was my next guess. Truly, I was going to be like the Jackson 5.
This Pepsi commercial is a promotional for their upcoming Victory Tour starting later in the year. The commercial's concept is simple. The Jacksons performing a Pepsi rendition of Billie Jean in front of thousands of fans, with Michael's entrance being the dazzling standout one. You're a whole new generation, just dancing through the day. You're grabbing for the magic on the run. You're a whole new generation, you're loving what they do. I put a Pepsi in the motion, and that choice is up to you. Hey, you're the Pepsi generation. Now, even though this is technically a commercial, the vibes are very much rock concert. There's a live audience of 3,000, fireworks, pyrotechnics, you know, everything you get at a fun concert. Mm-hmm. Pepsi wants this commercial to feel like we're in the audience, and they're nailing it. Now, since this is a commercial, we do have to contend with multiple takes. The shot they're trying to nail is a simple one. 25-year-old Michael walks down a set of stairs while singing and dancing, with fireworks going off as he descends. The first take is a hit. The next take is good as well. The timing is perfect each time. Following the fifth take, the director pulls Michael aside. He tells him that he's coming down too early. He wants to see Michael up there on the stairs when the lights come on as a big reveal. Michael agrees, and for the next take, the sixth one, he stands at the top of the stairs a little longer. Once the fireworks go off, which, by the way, are actually magnesium flash bombs, Michael begins his descent, moving to the music as usual. Except this time, something is different. His hair has caught fire. It takes him a minute to register what's happening. It's actually not until after he does one of his signature spins, which almost seems to feed the fire growing on his head, turning the smoke into actual flames.
Oh my God.
That it registers to Michael that he's actually on fire. Michael falls to the floor, trying to shake the flames out. His brother, Jermaine, turns around mid-song and sees him on the ground. With the chaos of the scene and the noise from the explosions, Jermaine initially thinks Michael's been shot by someone in the crowd.
Oh my God.
But once it's clear Michael is just on fire, everyone springs to action, rushing around him, trying to extinguish the flames on his head. It's utter chaos. The crowd is screaming, Michael is yelling, people are shouting all kinds of things. An ambulance eventually arrives and takes Michael to Cedars-Sinai before he's transported to a burn center in Culver City. At the burn center, Michael is treated for second-degree burns on his head. The burns lead to significant scarring, and Michael eventually undergoes several medical procedures, including treatments to conceal the damage. He also has his third nose job shortly after the incident. What follows is decades of pain for Michael, and many different attempts, often painful as well, at covering his scarred head. The general consensus is this event is what led to his prescription pill addiction, which ultimately culminated in his overdose death.
Wow.
Now, Pepsi did end up settling out of court with Michael for the incident, giving him $1.5 million, which is $4.5 million in today's money, all of which he donated to the burn center that treated him, and later renamed the center the Michael Jackson Burn Center.
Wow.
Now, the absolute spookiest thing about all of this is when this happened, Michael was exactly 25 years, 4 months, and 29 days old when this happened. Mm-hmm. Fast forward another 25 years, 4 months, and 29 days. That's the day he died.
Whoa.
So literally the exact midpoint of his life, this happened.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? It's spooky as hell.
That is spooky as hell.
Anyway.
Do you think someone in the crowd was like, Michael's on fire? And they were like, yeah, he is. He's killing it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
100%. They still aired the commercial, too.
Wow. Pepsi always does very epic commercials.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know about that story.
Yeah. I knew that he had caught fire, but that's it.
Wow.
It's very tragic.
Yeah, that is really tragic.
I mean, most things related to Michael seem to be very tragic.
Yeah, that's very true. Okay, well, speaking of tragedy.
Oh, God.
My story today happened in, I want to say, 2013, 2014.
Okay.
It was right after I had moved to Los Angeles, and I was doing a lot of networking. This was on Facebook. I killed it at Facebook.
Wait, put me there. What is networking on Facebook? What does that even look like back then?
Well, it's like you meet other actors, you add them on Facebook, you chat, you're like, oh, you know, you end up working together on something because you connected on Facebook. Like, I just had a ton of actor friends.
Are you just like randomly adding people, or you like meet them out and then you add them on Facebook later?
Or I'll like know of them through the community, or like we have mutual friends and we add each other that way. So I had a friend on Facebook who was an actor in LA, and he was like, my film is doing a screening in, I don't even know where it was, Culver City or somewhere, maybe. I don't know. It was like far. I remember being like, okay, I have to drive a little bit.
Where the burn center is.
Yeah, I stopped by there and paid my respects.
Good, good.
So Jared, my roommate at the time, you know Jared, I was like, do you want to go to this? Actually, maybe he wasn't my roommate. We were just friends. I was like, do you want to go to this film screening with me? I didn't even know what it was about, but I was like, oh, I'm going to go, but I don't go anywhere alone. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
So we drive down, we go to this screening, and we're like sitting there. And the film ends up being about 9/11.
Oh, no.
And it was the story of the film was essentially letting us know that the whole thing was a sham.
9/11 was a sham?
Well, it was mostly about the planes themselves. But in one scene, I don't remember really specifics. But in one scene, a group of people are like walking. They take them off the plane. I think the one that crashed in Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
They like take them off the plane and put them essentially into like a gas chamber or something and kill them.
What the fuck?
I could be misremembering. But the point of this story is that Jared and I are like, okay. And after it, they have like a Q&A and they're like talking about the film, and it becomes these people in the audience telling stories about when they worked for airlines and how dangerous planes are and how infrequently people check on these planes, and there'll be issues with them that people will just brush off. And basically they're like, flying is so fucking dangerous, you're all gonna die.
Why would you pick this story to tell me as somebody who flies a lot?
If you don't think that fucking Q&A is in the back of my mind every single time I fly, I don't remember a single thing about the movie except those poor people getting escorted off the plane.
Into a gas chamber.
Yeah, I don't even remember if that's exactly what was happening. I just know that they made it seem like these people didn't really die in a crash. They killed them. And it was like a conspiracy and all this stuff. But the Q&A was so off the fucking rails of people just spitting absolute conspiracy. And Jared and I are like, what did we come to? Like, what did we show up to? So that was my first experience of networking in LA.
Yeah. Did you get some good contacts?
Yeah, I did. I'm trying to remember because there's an actor I know that I'm like, was it him who I just saw in a TV show?
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, it's that guy. And I was like, is he the one that I saw the 9/11 movie? But I can't remember because I don't really think but he messaged me after. He's like, oh, thanks for coming. I was like, oh, God, it was so good.
What is it with you? I have two screening experiences that I've been with you that were mindfucks. The first one was the, like, in some rinky-dink theater we went to with Russell. And then the second one was Liam's. We just went to the wrong movies.
I know. And the movies we saw were crazy.
Similar to gas chambers.
Yeah, we accidentally ended up in the foreign film theater.
We were supposed to be in the comedy one. So you can imagine our surprise when film after film, we're watching children soldiers, we're watching rape victims, we're watching horrific things, and we're like, when's the comedy gonna hit?
It was like, oh, these are international films. Well, Liam is from Canada, so maybe he is in this category.
And we're like, maybe we'll get a nice little reprieve, it'll be a fun comedy from all this horrible stuff. Never came.
And the funniest part about it is that we were so mad at Liam because we thought his thing started late. Mm-hmm. Or a different time than he told us, and that this was happening before it, and we were like sitting through it. Nope, come to find out, we were just in the wrong theater for the whole fucking time. That's actually the day that the brilliant saying, my legs weren't meant for standing, came about. Because we were standing out in the lobby, and we were waiting for Liam. And I was like, should we go sit down? You're like, yeah, let's sit. My legs weren't meant for standing.
They really weren't. I cannot emphasize that enough.
So yeah, I always have an interest. I don't think been to a normal screening, except maybe one of my own in Vegas.
That's what you think. Just wait for somebody who was in the audience talking about it. It's like there was a girl who had a gun.
Yeah, I always think of that story when I fly, and it's terrifying. So now everyone else can think about it,
too. Yeah, I wish you hadn't told me that. I will say, and I'm going to say this just to feel better for myself, a lot of regulations have come into play since then. I know they're all being absolutely decimated right now, but...
Yeah.
Gotta have faith.
Well, I also can't trust the people in this screening to be 100% on their rocker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, based off of the very little information I just got, they are suggesting planes would be falling out of the skies every second.
I know. Maybe they saw something that we didn't see in the future.
Oh, like travelers.
Yeah.
Also weirdly tied to 911.
911. 911. But yeah, that's my story. And okay. Again, guys, you can find us on Instagram at Brooke Ziffrin, at Arisha Skidmore Williams. You can follow the podcast at Almost Famous Pod. Follow the show wherever you listen. Rate, subscribe. That actually helps us a lot.
Mm-hmm. Tell your friends.
Jinx.
I got a Coke.
The perfect line to jinx on, honestly, is two friends.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, you can find us on Patreon. $5 tier now has a weekly uncut episode. $10 tier also has a weekly episode where we talk shit about pop culture news.
Uh-huh. So you'll get two extra episodes.
Yeah. And if you're on the sleepover tier, you get unhinged videos from our sleepovers and two episodes a week. So you're getting three episodes a week.
We actually just posted our video from Girls Week this morning.
Yes. Also, I want to ask you guys really quick, because this is something we've been talking about doing, to have two episodes a week, public episodes, where we do just pop culture news in one episode, and then we split up the stories into a second episode, and possibly do the stories from our past also narrative. So you'd get the nostalgic throwback pop culture story and then one of our personal stories or a story of ours together that's also narrative, and that's like a second day in the week. Is that something you guys would want? Or
yeah,
do you prefer
we?
It all in one? Just let us know what you think. You can DM us, or you can join Patreon for free and join the chat, and you can also ask us questions there as well if you want to do that. But
yeah,
we'd be interested to know, because we're thinking about possibly doing that. So
let
us know. Thank you for listening. We love you guys so much.
So much.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.